Cameron Wright here for MMA UK, joined by Sean the Disgrace Taylor. Soon to be fighting in Bellator on the 23rd of February, representing Scotland over in Dublin. Was going to open up just if Sean could talk a wee bit about how he ended up with the nickname The Disgrace.
Yeah, so my long-term coach from years back, who sadly passed away last year, didn't like conventional nicknames. Didn't like being nice to us, so we went with The Disgrace. And I also had a slight habit of starting fights where I shouldn't have, such as at the end of shows, and you know, caused a riot at one just because I'm a cheeky prick. But there it is, so I don't mind it. Like, it's just kind of stuck with me, unfortunately.
That's quality. There was I remember you telling me that when we first met some time ago, and it was a good story that stuck with me.
Yeah, better than Vanilla Gorilla. The Americans tried that, and it's just like, no.
And that's so, like, was that your first gym that you've ever started in? Was that your first coach?
No, my first coach was a guy called Andy Wilson down in Ayr. It was West Coast MMA through the Wasabama. Had one fight with there, and BGG black belt moved to the neighbouring town, and as case of, I started training there, met Rob, and they wanted to fight MMA, and it just one thing led to another, and I kind of stayed with the Lycans until they dissolved, basically.
And so, like, you've fought in lots of different shows. You fought in Bama. Mm-hmm. You fought in there was SFC as
SFC,
well,
and Europa, BFA, and
lots of places. So, obviously, coming to be fighting Will Fleury in Bellator. Is that the biggest kind of one that you've got to so far, and how does it feel to be going there?
Yeah, like, it's the biggest opportunity I've had. Bama against Leon Edwards was a great opportunity, but it wasn't the same sort of stage. Mm. This is, so it's a rival to the UFC. Like, it's, although average Joe may not know it, and the fight scene, it is known, and even within Bellator, it's quite often seen as, there's better opportunities, you know. Mm. There's more opportunity for better pay, there's sponsorships, like, I can get sponsors and not have to give the UFC a massive chunk of it. Mm. Or have them block the sponsor. So I think it gives a lot of fighters another place to go rather than the UFC. It can only really be good for the sport. I mean, if you think of the progression we had when we had Pride in the UFC, when they were facing off against each other. Mm. Who's better, who's this, yeah, it was slightly different rule sets, but there was more to it, and if Bellator gets bigger and better, it can only be good for us.
Yeah, and obviously Bellator have accrued quite a lot of Bama fighters and a lot of UK guys recently, so it looks like they are planning to move into this market a little bit. I don't know, have you been following any, is there any, a few guys that you've been looking at thinking you might see further down the path, or?
Not really, like, I don't think that much. As far as I'm concerned, like, I never thought this opportunity would come. Mm. I personally was at a point where I had a return fight after a kind of long sabbatical, went to 8-1 against a really, really tough French guy, one of the better rated French middleweights, and I did okay, you know. Mm. I finished in the second. It wasn't my best performance, but I had 4 years out. But even after that, I was losing the motivation because financially it's difficult. Mm. Like, I moved from Troon to Lark Hall just to train here. I didn't think it would come, and when it did, obviously you're going to jump at that opportunity. Yeah, it's something you're never ever going to turn down, regardless of who it's against. I just don't understand why Will wants to fight me. It's like, on paper, it's, to me, it doesn't make sense. Like, this guy really hasn't done his homework. Like, and he's not the brightest either. He's like, I've watched him fight, and his fight IQ is not great, and he's just, he doesn't seem to be the sharpest hack in the box.
So I take it you've got a few places you've watched and you think you can see, you see, like, a lot of paths to victory.
I've seen this whole game. Like, this is my fight to lose. It's only going to be if I fuck up. I mean, if you want to judge the man's intelligence, if I wanted to kill myself, I'd climb his chromosome count and jump to his IQ. He doesn't really bother me. You know, he's 6'3", 6'4". But he likes to grapple. Mm. Good fucking luck getting my hips. You know, I'm built like Nicki Minaj. That's not going to work well for you. And then his striking is, my biggest weakness, especially at the stage I'm at, is going to be your fast twitch guys. You know, your, I don't really know, there's no PC way of saying it, but everyone knows what I mean. There's those fast twitch guys that, on the way in, if they hit you right, you're going down. Mm. You know, and he doesn't have that. I mean, look at Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
He was stopping guys left, right and centre, even in the UFC. He beat Cerrone.
Mm-hmm.
It took him everything and the kitchen sink to finally put me down, and I still maintain he didn't knock me out.
Yeah.
The canvas knocked me out. But either way, like, he can't strike like Leon. He's not fast, and he's slow. Mm. He's a big lumbering guy. He's skinny and fat at the same time. He's a really, it's like a string with a knot in it. You know, it's, if he tries to grapple with me, it's going to be bad. Mm. If he tries staying at range, like, I'm used to dealing with welterweights, you know, as far as speed goes.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, I was always a giant of a welterweight. But I don't know, like, we'll see where it goes. But
yeah.
I'm not, again, it's, there's probably more pressure on me because it's my fight to lose. I think that's because if you look at, say, the topology results, they're actually pretty accurate in their fight predictions. And I think at the moment it's sitting at 84% are backing me on it.
Yep.
Which, great, brilliant. But I think it just shows the confidence.
Mm.
And I think as well the team's overstretching. You know, Coach Kavanagh, like, as much great, as good as he's done, he's not going to be able to corner everybody effectively in that night. He's not going to be able to warm them up. He's not going to have that kind of one-to-one time you get coaches like James have with his guys, where he's with you for hours beforehand. They mentally prep you and build you, and then, you know, they know you inside out, which I can't see happening for him. For me, he's just a feed. Mm. He's a feeder. Like, as soon as I finish with him, that's me 9-1. You know, I'll fight for Bellator again. It's, you know, the great opportunities for me, and I'm happy to take it.
Is that something they discussed, or they kind of said that if things go right, you know,
no comment.
No comment. And obviously, you mentioned Doolin there. So we're actually in Higher Levels HQ, new facility. I take it that's been a bit more pleasant than training in the wee sweaty shed we used to be in.
Like, I like that little sweaty shed. It's, you know, I think with a lot of gyms, at least initially, you know, some of the best characters and fighters come out of these small gyms. But James, he was just, fighters who wanted to go somewhere were drawn to him like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
It's his attention to detail, it's what he does, and on top of that, all the good training partners are here, because everybody who's good at MMA in Scotland trains here.
Yeah.
With the exception being, you know, you've got guys up in Aberdeen that just can't make it down.
Mm-hmm.
But even at that, they come down here and they do camps here. You know, Paul McBain's come down training with the Ninjas. You've got, oh, who's the big light heavyweight
from Aberdeen?
No. Montrose.
Jamie McDonald?
No.
No.
Big light heavyweight lad, he was down here the other day, like, obviously I'm, you know, diet's kicking in the weight cut. But if you want to train with the best calibre in Scotland, you're here.
Mm.
And it's like, I was travelling from Troon to here every training session. You know, the guys are coming from a ridiculous distance away. Like, I think at one point I was clocking 150 miles a day, just driving.
It's a lot of trekking.
You know, I was taking a wee talented guy from Paisley, Sean Clancy. He's going to be one to watch. Not, he's built like Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
But he's going to be really, really good. You know, I was picking up other fighters on the way there, and, you know, just trying to manage things. But it's,
is that a good inspiration for you, having someone like Wee Sean, just kind of bringing him in here, just seeing
pain
this
in the ass? It's a pleasure to be with him, because throughout my career, a lot of guys have helped me, like Rob McCrum. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have my career. Anybody who's given me a lift home when I've been broke, anyone who's, you know, just helped me out here, there and everywhere, I can't not repay that, you know. And it's, I have arguments with his dad, he's like, let me pay, and I'm like, get fucked, I don't want petrol money. Like, you know, it is expensive, you know, it's difficult, but I owe it to karma, I guess. Really.
And you mentioned the weight cut there a wee bit, but obviously you were saying you have been known to push that weight cut a little bit hard in times past, and so are things a wee bit different now that it's a big, you know, stepping up or stuff?
Yes, that's part of the move to middleweight.
Mm.
So after 4 years out, middleweight because I got fat. Like, I purred when I was breathing. At one point, I was sweating butter. I was a fat mess. I was just demotivated, and I'm just, my genetics, we just hold weight. You know, it's always a struggle for me to lose it in general until I get, kind of get into the swing of things. But for my height and build, welterweight doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I would weigh in for welterweight 77 kilos. By the time fight time's around, I'm plus 90. You know, I was bigger than some of the middleweights on the same shows as me. And that affected me. Mm-hmm. It affected my cardio. And the one time I did diet all the way down, which was Leon Edwards, you know, my chin just wasn't there, and I can eat a shot. Like, you can hit me with a hammer and it's not going to affect me, you know. And it's, I kind of need that, because there's the same kind of height difference between welterweight, middleweight and light heavy. There's, they're all 6'2", 6' plus. So I need to be able to shut down that distance and apply my game plan, but still be able to take the shots, which are going to happen. I'm going to get hit. It's just being able to have that resistance to them. And the weight cut, although it did win me fights early in my career, it won me fights because it was shock and awe tactics. Guys would see me and go, oh, what the fuck? And then I'd be incredibly strong for a round. But like, there was one occasion on Vision, I fought Esteban Mendoza. I done a big cut. I walked into the sauna 85 kilos. That's, and that was after doing 2 kilos in the sauna car. Sweatsuit on, you know, heat right up, and he was tiny. We thought he was huge, like, just, it was just a very, very small ring in the videos that he kind of came up on. But I had to be carried out of that cage, like, I struggled to walk. So that's, it would affect my performance just too much. And for what you gain, it's not an invest. It's not a worthy investment. You know, you've got to really. It's a balance, you know. I can cut, and I can cut weight well, like, but as far as the way I fight, my style, I need to be able to maintain a massive work rate, which isn't easy when you're as lazy as me.
So psychologically, obviously, now that you're not going to be cutting that hard, it's kind of like, is that putting you in a bit better place, knowing that, you know, you're not going to be as depleted going in?
I don't really know. I don't really think of it like that. At the end of the day, my biggest battle has always been making weight. It's just, it's part of the sport, because especially in your fight camps, you know, you're mixing in between having a massive calorie deficit alongside, you know, really, really intense training. You know, it affects you during that stage. But I've got my weight cut down to an art. Like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm very scientific about it. Same with my rehydration process. So it doesn't really alleviate anything off my mind. It's just, it's good for me right now, because I can sit here and go, right, I know I'm not having to go to 77 kilo. So I'm a wee bit more optimistic about it. But that's what it is.
Yeah. And obviously, and off the back of that as well, obviously, you're going to be in enemy territory. Obviously, you know, Will might not, you're not afraid of any challenge that he poses you, but is that going to be a kind of, is that a different experience for you, kind of being the, not in the hometown fighter? You're not going
to, I've never going really been a hometown fighter.
So,
you know, I was wanting to walk out to the sash just to be that guy, just to be a prick. But my corner team have told me I'm walking out alone if I do that. So I'll let them pick the walkout song. But, you know, I'm like a black guy from Paris. I walked out to Jay-Z's Niggas in Paris. Half the crowd got it, half the crowd didn't. So any opportunity to be a troll. But I think the Irish fans are quite good. As much as they really support their own fighters, they appreciate a good fight. They appreciate it. So if anything, I probably perform better when people dislike me, when they're booing me, because my entire approach is, well, fuck you too. You know, hence riots and my amateur career.
Spur you on a little bit. So fighting in Ireland, that was something as well. I don't know if so Safe MMA, the protocol they have over there, I don't know, is this your first time having to undergo anything of that nature? And
no, so my first interaction with Safe MMA, I believe, was through Europa MMA, where all they required was a blood test, whereas now I'm having to pay for brain scans and stuff. I'm actually booked in the next couple of days to get it done, and it's a massive expenditure. It's up to a grand, you know, £1,000. That's a big chunk of my purse. So there's that is quite difficult to deal with, because Bellator won't absorb that, you know, because at the end of the day, if they pay for me and for some reason I don't fight, that's them down the expense of it, and I can't I can't begrudge them that. Mm. So getting that done, it is good for it can only be good for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's very, very difficult. But then again, we are at the pinnacle of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of money they're paying me to fight is ludicrous. It really is. Like, even if I don't win, I'm still making more money in this than I have in the rest of my fights in my career combined. Well, which, obviously, isn't an issue, because it's a win there. But it's, you know, I'm self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a self-employed fighter. As a fighter, you're responsible for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible for you as a business. So it's something I need to do. I'll bitch and moan about it. If I can get something for free, I will. I'm a bit of a pikey, but yeah,
it's yeah. Well, and so do you think that's something that should kind of maybe get brought in across the board, or you know, obviously we don't actually have even a regulatory authority in the UK at all at the moment, and you know, there's always potential for we've seen some bad shows and things like that recently, and. Yeah, so is that, do you think that's something that needs to kind of be brought in, or?
No.
Not at all?
No, I don't think it's feasible. You know, we can say, yeah, this will be a great thing, but you can't ask, as talented as our amateur guys are out there, you know, you can't ask them to pay for that.
Mm.
They don't have that kind of finances. We don't make enough off of it to do it. And it's not necessarily the show's being greedy by not paying us enough. It's, they don't make enough off of it. You know, it's, in the UK in general, we need to generate more support, and that's what Conor McGregor's done for it. You know, it's made it way more popular. But it's, with the size of the sport and the way it is, it's not going to happen. I think we kind of self-regulate in many ways. Like, do you remember the hoo-ha when Mike Persil was fighting? He was about 50. Right, and he just got starched. He was fighting professional. He was almost as bad as Nathan. In fact, he was worse than Nathan Thompson. Like, he was just like, see that way you'd be like, no, he is not. You thought he was like the old ring doctor.
Mm.
Like, he was going in there and he was getting split in half. And the guys that employed him, or the guys that brought him into fight, were slowly just ostracized in the community. So there is a kind of standard there.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of regulation, you can't do it, because I remember guys in Scotland have tried to do it, but they've done it to line their own pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Like Davy Galbraith, that absolute pirate, he's just pork chop. Like, he tried to get on a governing board at one point, and you're talking about a guy who's just like, he's just thick as fuck. Like, you can hear the cogs turning in his head. It's just, he might actually be denser than Will Fleury. But he's, it's just that it's something that, like, at this stage cannot be done.
Mm.
If it is, it can be good, but I think it's only going to harm the sport.
Mm.
At least at this stage, yeah, fighter safety is great, but you need to go private. And who has that kind of cash lying about? I had to get a credit card, you know, to pay it. I've just actually had a sponsor offer to pay it for me.
That's
great for me, but that's me knowing somebody that's willing to do that. You're not going to get that. Kind of junior pros, even higher level pros, excuse the pun, are going to struggle to get somebody to pay that for them.
Mm.
So unless somebody's willing to do it for free, which I doubt,
it's not
going to happen. And if you try to implement that on people, you're just going to kill the sport.
Well, and obviously, so it's good though, at least that Bellator have brought a wee bit more money into, you know, your pockets, but you know, other fighters in the UK scene, and hopefully we'll see it grow, I suppose, from that. And yeah, I mean, I was going to say, if you would like to shout out any of your sponsors just now, if there's it, or are you still looking for sponsors just now? Or
I'm always looking for sponsors. I'm always looking to line my pockets and penny pinch. But Charlie McCallum up at Darwin Creation and the TARDIS CBD company, they're sponsoring. He's the one that's offered to help me out with my expenses for the scans and stuff. I've recently got a whole bunch of CBDs from a lovely lady called Ruth in Lanark.
Okay.
She runs the CBD Active. Great stuff. I'm waiting until I'm close to my fight to kind of, I've kept a training diary and how I've been taking the supplements, how it's affected me, until I release that.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Better Bodies in Glasgow have been giving me my supplements. You know, they've been looking after me, they've been great with me. But same thing, I don't really look for sponsors.
Mm.
At the end of the day, it's if they want to sponsor me to help push their brand, great, let them come to me. I'm not going to go begging for it.
Cool. And Obviously, I'll give you one last chance to say anything, Will Fleury. I think you've kind of run him through the ringer a wee bit so far already, but...
Get a better beard, you prick.
Quality. So, obviously, I hope everybody will tune in on the 23rd to watch Sean. Hopefully, I feel like hopefully is actually too kind a word, actually, to Will, but probably smash the face off Will Fleury.
Butcher him.
But, yeah, so everybody tune in and wish him good luck.
Cheers, guys. We'll be right back.